Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Game two of the Stanley Cup Final goes tonight. It is the Carolina Hurricanes, Vegas Golden Knights. And no roster changes at all for those two teams going into this evening's game. And, of course, in less than a half an hour, probably kick off in about a half an hour at 5:38-ish time in Hamilton, Ontario, the Tiger Cats and the Alouettes warming up right now ahead of the first game of 81 in the CFL regular season as the Alouettes start the defense of their Eastern crown. See, Tony sparked something on a text he just sent in. I don't see the excitement over Rourke. Yeah, he was good a few seasons ago before going to the NFL, but what has he done? Well, he had a really good year last year, MOP, Most Outstanding Canadian. But I'm getting the impression, and you out there can tell me if I'm right or wrong, are you getting sick of Nathan Rourke? And I don't mean him personally.
Just the hype around
him. The hype around Nathan Rourke. Do you think it's deserved? Do you think it's overhyped? Because I'll tell you, the CFL needs a Nathan Rourke. The CFL needs players to build around.
He's got to deliver, though, this year.
He's the guy. He's Canadian.
Yeah.
He's a quarterback. He's doing things we haven't seen since Rush Jackson in terms of a Canadian quarterback.
He's dynamic when you watch him play.
Can take off and run?
Yeah.
He's exciting.
He can throw the ball.
But people are telling you, like, oh, here, Nathan Rourke. Okay, sure. Yeah, Nathan Rourke. Here we go.
Is that being a Riders fan thing, though?
Maybe.
A little bit.
Now,
right?
I'll tell you. In a few years, it might be Curtis Rourke for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. They did draft his brother, after all.
Yeah.
We'll see how he does with the San Francisco 49ers in this training camp.
The interesting thing about the Rourke brother conversation is you've got a guy that tried to make it in the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't work out. And he would have just been like a practice roster guy, more than likely. Maybe made the third on an NFL, like a bad NFL team, probably wouldn't have saw the field, and that was something he has to live with. Or he comes up into Canada, and he's the most talked about player in the country, in the CFL. I mean, this is a guy that sits down and breaks bread, you know, family dinners with his brother. He's going to take counsel from Nathan.
And we talked about this new TV deal and what's going to happen with the salary cap. And I think it's closing in, and we're getting close to quarterbacks making $1 million per year in this league. That is not practice roster money in the National Football League.
That's a nice chunk of change.
It is not. Like, practice roster, it's more, way more than it is a minimum salary in the Canadian Football League down south. I think it's about $100,000 a year.
I was going to say $100,000.
Isn't it a practice roster?
Isn't it like a buck 50?
So if you're telling, now, of course, if you make a roster in the National Football League as a quarterback, you're making more than $1 million per season.
Yes.
But that matters. And what Nathan Rourke went through, and you heard Dave Naylor talk about it yesterday on his West Division preview, is Nathan Rourke, and the reason he talked so highly of Nathan going into last year, that it wasn't going to be anything like we saw in 2024 when he struggled in that half year when he came back from the United States, was that he had zero focus on the NFL. He could have had camps. He could have done that whole gamut again of going down to Jacksonville and going to a camp, but nope. It was his agent said no to everybody. Don't even call. He's not doing this. He focused all in on the Canadian Football League, and that is why he was so damn good last year, and then he did it again this offseason.
Yeah.
Nope. Don't want to even consider it. I've been there. I've done that. I've got a great thing going here. I got marketing. He makes about $1 million a year from his contract and his marketing money. Nathan works about $1 million a year in the Canadian Football League. So, like, no, I'm not going to throw all that money away to go be on a practice roster in camp and maybe be a last cutter. You hang around for a couple of weeks, and then they cut you anyways.
If it's your dream, I can wrap my head around it, and then you take the chance. But maybe your dream is to actually play meaningful football.
But when you look at faces of the league, Nathan Rourke is number one, and the guy at quarterback for the Montreal Alouettes might be number two by the end of this year. Davis Alexander, these are important pieces. And then, of course, everybody talks about the marketing of the Canadian Football League has to be better around their stars. And these are two young quarterback stars that...
Both fun to watch, too. I really like watching Davis Alexander play football.
They play an exciting brand. Both of them get around. Now, hopefully, Davis Alexander can stay healthy this season to have a great year as the CFL season begins. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line ahead of the CFL season. Any big predictions? Bill is texting in. He believes it'll be the Riders and the Tiger Cats in a Grey Cup with the Rough Riders winning because of a better defense. So Bill is going with a repeat for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
That's what I got, Bill. Good pick. We're on the same page.
I agree with Dave Naylor because he agrees with me. BC Montreal. And I agree with Dave on what he said. It is so darn hard
to repeat
in the Canadian Football League.
I like the idea of the crossover because if we have 10 teams, okay, let's say this league expands to 10 teams before 2027, and we're kicking off that crazy new year with all the new rule changes and the new field and the new look and whatever else Stuart Johnston comes up with to destroy this game that we all so dearly love. And then we have an even East, we have an even West. Maybe they do 1-8. You're eliminating the crossover. You got to get one more in, Jamie. You got it. That last chance at a crossover Grey Cup win, and the Riders do it.
See,
they go through the East, meet the BC Lions, and Trevor Harris takes down Nathan Rourke in the final game of 2026 before we never see another crossover again in the CFL because of expansion and because of the change of the game.
My one issue with that is I don't see two other teams being better than Saskatchewan or BC this year in the West. I don't see BC or Saskatchewan finishing fourth.
Calgary?
No.
Okay.
Riders are better than Calgary. They're better than Winnipeg. They're better than the Edmonton Elks. They are an even playing field. Next Saturday's game, which is wild to say, is, I think, going to factor in big time on who hosts the West Final. It's BC Saskatchewan at the start of the season. They were a win apart last year. It could come down to tiebreaker stuff for that top spot in the West.
Okay.
I think they're that tight. I don't see two teams better than the Riders or the BC Lions for one of them crossing over, except for one factor that we don't even want to talk about in Saskatchewan. What would life look like without Trevor Harris? 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. It's open to you now. Your thoughts ahead of kickoff of the CFL season on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday afternoon. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone as we've been talking about the Canadian Football League night one. It'll be interesting to see Luke Wilson. Remember, Luke is in the booth this year as a color analyst for the CFL on TSN. He's actually in the booth tonight with the Hamilton Tiger Cats and the Alouettes, and also will be doing Friday Night Football as the color analyst this year. A fresh voice.
You could see him as momentum built for Luke last year. I'm not talking about the social media. I'm talking about his presence on TSN as a whole, right? With his hits with Jay. And
yeah, he did a full breakdown last night with Jay Onright on the CFL season. He's turned into a passionate fan of progress when it comes to the Canadian Football League.
I think he gets over his skis a little bit every once in a while.
But the thing is,
I don't mind that.
The one thing that Luke provides on TSN that you don't get a lot is
he will, if the CFL needs to be called out on something, he will do it. And I know Milt Stegall and Davis Sanchez got really rankled by him saying that. Like, I'm the only one who's saying anything. And they're like, we've been critical of the Canadian Football League.
Yeah.
But when that playoff format came out, Luke was like, are we 8 of 9 teams make the playoffs?
What are we doing here?
What are we doing?
Yeah. I don't mind that. He's very honest. Sometimes you can see him walking things back, because I think he's one of those guys that doesn't read his tweets before he sends them out, which is always a really good, strong move. I've learned this over the years. It's taken me about 30 years to figure this out before you hit send, to maybe just give it a look-see over.
And if you're doing it in anger, take a deep breath, yeah. Maybe go for a walk, even, and then look over it again.
Even read it out loud. Like, just hear it.
As if you were the person being sent this message, read that in that perspective and go, ooh.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't think that's going to go over very well. But it's a new voice on, and next year with the Zone, they want to hire a whole new group.
That's interesting as well, because that,
and when TSN started, remember, this is the dynamic I've been wanting. With CFL on CBC, you know, you had, you know, Brian Williams, and I think they might have had Eric Tillman on the panel, and Tillman, like, Millington, right, was on there, and there's a few others. Well, out of Winnipeg, he was the color analyst, offensive lineman. Why can't I think of his name? Chris Walby, he was the color analyst with Mark Lee. And then when TSN came on, you had that CFL panel. And then you had another different panel with different perspectives.
Yeah.
And then they did something. Oh, they're doing this. Oh, maybe we should. That helps in the presentation of the game.
Competition.
So I can't wait to see what DAZN has in store next year as a new voice for the Canadian Football League. As it starts in about 10 minutes. It's the Hamilton Tiger Cats and the Montreal Alouettes to kick off the CFL season. And yes, in Saskatchewan, we're waiting. Next week, next Saturday, a lot of firsts. Of course, the first banner unveiling,
yep,
at Mosaic Stadium, the new Mosaic Stadium. Tailgating is first on time. Next week for first, the first time.
First time. A lot of people are going to be taking Yucca Flux after the show today,
apparently.
I'm sure of it.
Yep. A beer garden's going to be set up, and it'll be the Riders and the BC Lions in a West Division rematch from last year's dramatic finish, and the BC Lions in their new
weird
Pacific Frost jerseys.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with Britton. I want to visually see what it's going to be like down there, because they're changing what's happening with the game day celebrations with,
yep,
the tailgate. They're sort of making that more of a Confederation Park. It's going to be more of kids zone, yeah, right?
Riderland is,
yeah,
what they're calling,
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And then you got all the yahoos over in the tailgating, yeah, section, right? Sort of keep them away from everybody.
Drunk uncle's over there and kids are over here. Well, it's about time for a kickoff in Hamilton on the 2026 CFL season. It begins in moments. The other games this week, you have the Calgary Stampeders taking on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers tomorrow night on Friday Night Football. And then on Saturday evening, which next year will be the featured event on DAZN with the new streaming broadcasting rights deal, that'll be the Ottawa Red Blacks taking on the Edmonton Elks.
I want to check that streaming service out. Just give it a bit of a sample before.
They actually made another major announcement today, did DAZN. They have picked up FIFA Plus, so they'll have 8,500 FIFA events now on that surface. So,
well, we were talking to Joanne as well, Polak, earlier about, yeah, a chair of Football Canada, and she was talking about the fact that Flag is going to be featured quite heavily on DAZN as well.
Yes, it will be. The qualifying events will be on there too,
leading up to the Olympics.
It is
that'll be interesting to follow.
It's a growing platform that has now added the Canadian Football League to their roster of leagues.
They so like football,
CFL, both varieties,
footy, yeah,
the North American football and European.
If
football.
You're a soccer fan, that's huge. They go crazy. They got everything soccer related.
So we'll see where We are this time, well, not this time next year, but next year on a Saturday night. It'll be on the Zone. Of course, the CFL season is about to begin, but puck drops in a half an hour. So let's preview game two of the Stanley Cup Final. Carolina trying to even this thing up at one. Tom Galletti, NHL.com senior writer, is in Raleigh covering the series. And we begin with how good game one was.
Yeah, it was. I don't know if we expected that kind of game between these two teams, and with the back and forth and 5-4. I'm guessing it might not be as open, as many mistakes and as tonight, as it might be. Both these teams are so good defensively when they're playing well. I think as we go on in the series, we're probably going to see some tighter games with not as many scoring chances.
To that sort of storyline, is this series more about, listen, I know that defense and special teams, everything's going to play a part in it, but do you think there might be more of a storyline revolving around a coaching battle than past matchups in Stanley Cup Finals?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think these two teams play the way they play, you know, and like John Tortorella's kind of tried to downplay his role and everything, kind of more like a guiding role since he took over, and late in the season, was it 9 games left, and Rod Vernamore always says, like, you know, he does his part and then players play. So I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be a cat and mouse in this game, but I do think there are some matchups to watch. We saw, you know, game one, they had the Hurricanes had Jordan Staal's line up against Eichel's line, and Eichel's line did come back and play better as the game went on, but Staal's line, I think, produced 3 goals. So that would be an interesting matchup. And I think as it goes, you know, when the teams go to Vegas for games 3 and 4, I would guess that John Tortorella will try to get away from that a little bit, so just so that Eichel and Dorofeev and Barbashev can just do maybe get more opportunities offensively.
As you've been pointing out in your coverage at NHL.com and through social media, there's much to discuss about Aho, Jarvis, Svechnikov not getting going. But today at morning skate, no mix-up. Roddy's being patient. Is patience a virtue for Rod Brind'Amour, or do you think eventually he might have to mix things up with his lines?
I can understand why he hasn't changed anything yet. Like before game one, they had lost 1 game all playoffs, and really all their in the conference final, most of their lines were going. The Aho line has been sporadic, but like I can see him why he hasn't wanted. You know, he doesn't want to change up the Stankoven Hall and Blake line, and doesn't want to mess with Jordan Staal's line because they had a really good line, really good game last game. So what do you change, right? So I think, but as this game goes on, or as we go, if this goes on further, he might have to change some things, right? So I think he's got kind of like keeping an eye on it, but keeping things as is for now.
Tom, if Vegas wins the Stanley Cup, what did he do with Torts?
What did he do with Torts? I mean, I'd say you have to keep him. But we've seen, I mean, it hasn't happened often that the coach leaves after winning the Stanley Cup. I'm guessing he'd want to stay. And I also guess that if they don't keep him, he won't be out of work long now after this, right? So I don't know. It seems to have been a perfect fit for him in situation coming in late in the season. And he's pulled a lot of the right strings. So he deserves credit for where they are. I don't know. You know, I don't think most people would probably say they wouldn't be in this situation if not for him. I'd say they probably have to re-sign him, but you never know with Vegas, right? They do whatever they feel is best for their team, right? And moving on, and if they feel like this was just the situation where they brought him in for this and that's it, I mean, I don't think I'd be surprised at Vegas. They sometimes, you know, it's can be a little bit ruthless, but it's about winning, and so we'll see. But my guess would be they bring him back.
Well, it's going to be interesting now because you're in the room. You'll be at these news conferences. You see the body language. Our NHL analyst here on the Green Zone, Drew Remenda, was talking about it yesterday, that John Tortorella is the king of deflecting credit.
Keeping it away from
his players. But making sure he takes the heat away from his players. Is he the best at that? Like, when there's something controversial, it's almost like Torts will jump in the way and make it about himself and deflect for his players. But when it's time to take credit, he's like, no, I have nothing to do with this. This locker room functions on its own. I don't really believe him when he says it, but he definitely wants to deflect to the guys in the room on the credit for why they're here.
I do think he is good at, you know, when there's something else to talk about, taking the heat on himself, right? So just so like there isn't, you know, and a lot of coaches have, over the years, have been good at that, and that's kind of a key. It can be important, you know, lets the players in the room not face as much scrutiny when they're all mad, you know, when everyone else is focused on something else. But I mean, I think he deserves credit, obviously, and you know, and I think he will get credit if they win the Stanley Cup here. I think he really deserves credit for what they've done so far. But you know, still three more wins to go for them to finish it off.
Tom, this is probably the most important question we're going to ask you today. Who's winning the NHL.com playoff pool right now?
Oh, I don't know. Definitely not me. I haven't been doing well in my picks. So I think I'm 500, so definitely not me. When you're not in the race, you don't pay attention.
You're not paying attention. Okay.
Well,
I think I was 500 through the first three rounds. So.
Yeah, you're 7-7. You picked the Canes to win this one.
I think I know the answer to this. Dan Rosen is leading our picks. I know that.
So. Well, I was just going to say, when Bill Price joined us, it was ahead of the conference finals, I think.
Yeah.
And we brought this up, and I said, Dan Rosen's 11-1. And Bill, without hesitation, said, let me guess, he called you to tell you that? So so I was, it's like, is Dan like walking around down and going, hey, everyone, 12-2. He's 12-2. That's incredible.
That's for this year? That's insane.
But I don't like his pick for the Stanley Cup final. I like Tom's pick better than I do Dan's for the Stanley Cup final.
I can't say that I have a more credibility behind my pick considering my results so far. So, but no, I don't think that Dan is bragging about it that much. But you know what? Once you mentioned, I started thinking about it, and it actually came up at lunch today. So that's
there you go.
So I was like, I don't know who's winning it. Then I was like, oh darn it! It did come up at lunch today.
There you go. Tom Galletti joining us, senior writer for NHL.com in Raleigh, covering the Stanley Cup final. I'm going to swing it over to, we've had you on plenty of times talking about the Washington Capitals. So I am curious about what you think is going to happen with Ovi after his final news conference, when he pretty well said he'd be open to coming back. When everybody thought this might be it, what do you think of Alexander Ovechkin's future?
This is going to not make this very satisfying for you, but I don't know. I thought I would, you know, if people were asking me late, let's say like a few weeks left in the season, and I thought he was pretty much, you know, everything seemed pointing that he was not coming back. But as we got closer to the end, it seemed like, I don't know if he changed his mind or maybe I just misread it. I mean, just everything seemed to be pointing like this was going to be it for him in the NHL. And now I'm not as sure, and I think he's taking his time to figure it out. I'm guessing we still probably will find out before the draft or around then what he's going to do. I mean, the Capitals are giving him, you know, rightfully giving him the time that he needs to make the decision because, you know, he's earned it. 21 seasons and all he's done for that organization, he's earned the right to, you know, decide on his own what he wants to do. And then I think if he decides he wants to come back, then they'll figure that out. But I do think that, you know, I think right now they have plans, you know, with and without him. At some point they'll need to know which one of those they have to implement. Right now, I think he still has a little bit more time, but we're getting here. You know, the draft's at the end of the month, and going into free agency and whatever trades that could possibly happen. I think they want to know where they are with him.
Tom, if you had to pick a Conn Smythe right now, who are you leaning on?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Maybe Jack Eichel. You know, if it's Vegas, they have some good candidates there.
Harder on the Hurricanes side, yeah.
Yeah, the Hurricanes have some good guys. I think that, you know, Taylor Hall's had a really good playoffs. I think, you know, Frederik Anderson gave 5 goals in game 1, but he's been really solid for them. I don't think his numbers are hard to read because they don't give up a lot of shots, but when he does stay shots, a lot of times they're quality ones. So I think he's been excellent for them. So I'd probably say those are the two guys for Carolina.
That is Tom Galletti, senior writer, NHL.com, ahead of game 2 tonight in a couple of minutes. In North Carolina, as the Hurricanes try to even the series, the Stanley Cup final, at one game apiece. Champs and Chumps coming up next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You two are winners, big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Each and every day, Champs and Chumps on the Green Zone. A pair of chumps with the same story.
Okay. Well, this is from the NBA game last night.
Last night, the NBA, they banned two people for life from its arenas. Like, all NBA arenas. Like, you're not allowed to come to a game anymore. Did you see what happened last night? As a fan ran onto the court and...
to get a selfie.
Selfie with Victor Wembanyama. And apparently there was a second fan involved, probably distracting the security. So to allow his buddy to run out there to get a selfie with Victor Wembanyama. So those two individuals, banned for life.
I'm not condoning violence, but I am disappointed at how
I
always enjoy those moments, but then I enjoy the moments when, like, the security guard
is just dragging them off the field of play.
When you see a security guard and you go, I wonder what his 40 time is, and then he leaves his feet and takes the guy off, leaves his feet. Don't. It's a common expression. Tackles the guy. Those are great videos.
Dives. But here, another chump with this story. Buffalo Wild Wings, for some reason, offered these guys free wings.
What? Why?
Exactly. Like, what are you doing?
That's a bad move. Take it back, Buffalo Wild Wings.
Like, what?
Idiots? No, rethink that. That's a bad move. That's a bad look. Our champ, though, today is Jamie Nye for his new rules revolving Justin and Wheels' contribution to the Green Zone during the Stanley Cup Finals.
They called earlier and they were on the same line, so I made a rule that only to them. If there's a group of you on a Rider game day who are driving around the province back home and you want to hand the phone around, go nuts. Justin and Wheels, no, that's not happening. Both of them talking at the same time? Like, no. We have to manage that.
Yeah.
One or the other. We're not doing both. That is not happening.
Yeah.
And Justin's been quiet. And now that they're in the Stanley Cup final up one, now he gets chirpy? Like, come on. At least Wheels stays consistent all year round with his annoyance when it comes to the Golden Knights.
Yeah, he's
consistently annoying. But just jumping in from Justin's point of view on this one?
Weak.
Be better, Revis.